everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
Radio shock jock Howard Stern once said of my next guest, quote, "Liz, you've got to clean up your act," end quote. What? How bad could it be? As a radio personality sharing airtime with the infamous host, it wasn't her on-air show that was in trouble, but the life she led off the air. A disaster in the making not even Stern could endorse. So how did this now award-winning author, international conference speaker, and inspirational encourager go from that to where she is today? Would you welcome to Testimony, a great honor indeed, New York Times best-selling author, her latest, The Women of Christmas. Experience the season afresh with Elizabeth, Mary, and Anna. And my special guest, Liz Curtis Higgs. Liz, welcome to Testimony.
A blessing to be with you, Jensine. Thanks for opening that door.
Liz, it's great to have you here. Liz, you are best known for your million-selling series, Bad Girls of the Bible. And as a prolific author of over 31 books and women of faith speaker, your teachings, blogs, podcasts have now reached into all 50 states, 14 countries, and on over 1,700 platforms, including hundreds of radio and television appearances. But life for you was not always rosy, or Scottish, or any of those things you are now blessing millions of women with around the globe. Before we begin to share your latest work, The Women of Christmas, Liz, would you just begin to tell our listening audience how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, from good girl to bad girl to now God's girl? Liz, please tell us that story.
Well, I'm so grateful that we landed on God's girl, because the only way I could ever be a good girl is because of God's kindness. My righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags, but because of Him, because of His grace, His mercy, His love, that's the only way I could ever be called good. Now, I started out thinking I was a good girl growing up in a nice family. Jensine, it wasn't a Christian home. The Bible was never opened, and we didn't talk about God. We didn't pray other than a very rote at the dinner table, same thing every night kind of a prayer. So I'm grateful we even did that. But the truth is, when I hit 17, I went off and running. I always say I got a license to drive and a license to sin, and I went down that dark road for a decade. And I used to think of it as my lost years, but God has very kindly redeemed those years and uses them as a place of ministry for me. When a woman comes up to me and says, "Liz, you do not know what I've done," let me say this to you, my sister. You cannot shock me. I have been down every dark road you can go down. There's nothing you can say that will shock me. And far more to the point, God is not shocked either. God knows all of it. Oftentimes we feel when we turn away from God, run away from God, that He doesn't see us, that He doesn't know where we are. The truth is, He's right with us. The Scripture says He goes before us and behind us. And so those of you who have a prodigal who is in a pit like the pit I was in, or any kind of pit really, whether you have a son or a daughter or a family member, a loved one, a friend, I just want to say to you that God is on this. He's got this. He wants them out of that pit even more than you do. And the space of time between you praying for that redemption and it happening, that's God time. That is His time to do His work in that person's heart. And everybody's on a different time schedule. And I do know that you can't yank people out of the pit. Because if they're not done yet, if they haven't come to the end of themselves, they'll crawl back in. You know, we just have to pray and not judge. You know, that's the hardest thing. We want to judge. We want to shame. That really doesn't help. So don't judge. Love. Pray.
Amen.
So that was my journey, and it was, you know, that 10 years of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, all this stuff in the 70s, during which, of course, I was in radio, and Howard and I did work together. He did the morning show. I did the afternoon show. We didn't actually get on the microphone together, but at the same station. And he was genuinely concerned and had a right to be because I was living this wild lifestyle.
Liz, in the three women you feature in The Women of Christmas, Elizabeth was barren, Mary was pregnant, but not by her husband, and Anna was an elderly widow and prophetess, prayerfully waiting for her Messiah to appear. How do the lives of these women bring home the message of our Savior and make Christmas that much more meaningful?
Well, just to back up only a half step and think in terms of this bad girl redeemed by God, I just have to be really honest. When I first looked at these women that you might call the good girls of the Bible, I almost stepped back from them kind of thinking, oh my goodness, you know, I've never thought of myself as good, and here are these women about whom no bad thing is said. Unlike, say, a Rahab or Jezebel or some of the other bad girls of the Bible, here are these virtuous women. And I really did pray, and I said, Lord, help me understand how to climb into their hearts when I feel, in many ways, kind of unworthy with the background that I have. Well, of course, he reminded me that he loves me as he loves us all, as we are. But it's more than that. He said, Liz, the reason that you only see good things about these three women and several others in Scripture, but the reason we only see the good things in his word is, he said, that's how I see them. I see them as redeemed. I see them as washed clean. I didn't need to give you the mistakes they've made and the faults they've had and the weaknesses, because what I see is women redeemed. Isn't that encouraging for us to know that when God looks at us, he doesn't see the sin? It is literally covered. It's paid for. It's washed away. And so certainly we find that with these three women. Elizabeth, as you said, a barren woman. We're not sure of her age, sort of midlife, just past the age of childbearing. She's about to give up on that possibility. And then here comes an angel. An angel shows up, tells her husband, your prayer has been heard. Your wife will bear you a son. And indeed she does, a young boy we know as John the Baptist. And it says of her later in Scripture, she who was unable to conceive is now in her sixth month. Elizabeth was unable, but God was able. And so then we meet Mary, of course, and she also has an encounter with the angel Gabriel, who also comes to tell her, you will have a baby. But what a different situation. She's unwed, untouched. She's a virgin. I love the fact that Mary's response, and we can all learn from her example. She's so young. We just don't get, Jensine, how young she is. 12 to 12 and a half girls in that time and place were betrothed. As soon as they were able to conceive a child, they were betrothed. And then 1 year later, the wedding occurred. But during that year, they were considered married, just chaste. So in that time period is when Gabriel comes to her, and so she has a very legitimate question. How will I be pregnant when I have not known a man? And I love, she's not doubting. She just wants to know the practical, how is this going to happen? And he tells her, the Holy Spirit will hover over you. You know, I'd have a lot more questions at that point, a whole lot more. When? Where? What's this going to be like exactly? Will it be scary? Will it hurt? You know, how will I know? I'd have a lot of questions, but not Mary. Once he says the Holy Spirit, she She's in. She knows. She trusts not only Gabriel, but the one who sent him. Such a story. And he says, as proof to her, as encouragement to her, he tells her about Elizabeth's pregnancy. And then he says, Luke 1:37, a verse that all of us could write over the lintels of our homes or write across the tablets of our heart. Luke 1:37, depending on your translation, nothing is impossible for God. Or
Amen.
If you like, God can do anything. Isn't that a resounding truth that we can hang on to at any time of the year? But I think sometimes, especially as we come to the end of the year, we start the year with hopes and dreams. We start with a long list of things we hope we're going to do better at, or blessings that might come our way. We start the year with hope, and sometimes by this point in the year, we're starting to lose hope. Those things didn't happen. The job didn't come, or the money didn't come, or the prodigal didn't return, or the marriage hasn't been healed. Any number of things we're all dealing with. And you can begin to say, can God handle this? And so this word of encouragement from Gabriel for all of us, God can do anything. What is required of us? To have faith and to wait. Because it's the waiting that's the hard part. We believe in our heads, but we don't always trust in our hearts. And we especially aren't always able to wait. It's the hard part. And that leads us to Anna, by the way, who was a first-class waiter. She was 84 before she laid eyes on the Messiah. 84 years old. She spent all those years in the temple. It says she never left. Praying, fasting, and worshiping. Wow, what a role model. And then she sees the Messiah in Simeon's arms. And she runs over and she does two really important things. And seeing, she says, praise to God. She gives God the glory. And then she tells everybody who longs for his appearing that the Messiah has come. So here are these three good girls, these three women of Christmas. One of them prepares the way for the Savior. One carries the Savior in her womb, and then one carries the good news to the world. Just like God, to use three women. Wow. Wow. Of course, there are men that are part of the story, Zechariah and Joseph and Simeon. They're in there, but the women really literally carry the story. It's kind of exciting.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to internationally renowned author and speaker, Liz Curtis Higgs. You can learn more about Liz and her ministry by going to LizCurtisHiggs.com and get your copy of The Women of Christmas, a great read, stocking stuffer, and timeless classic sure to bless year after year. Liz, thank you for being with us on Testimony today. May the Lord continue to bless the work of your hands, and by all accounts, he certainly has. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays, beloved.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. A testimony of your story for His glory. When this best-selling author, internationally acclaimed speaker, and former radio host first shared her story with Testimony, it wasn't so much her latest great read, The Women of Christmas, that struck me, and a powerful read it is, but rather the grace of God on Liz's life that catapulted her from a life of despair to one of divine destiny. In her latest great read, Parable Treasury, an award-winning collection of four timeless parables, my next guest shares timeless biblical truths for every season, every child, and yes, adults too. Would you welcome back to Testimony, a great joy indeed, author and speaker, Liz Curtis Higgs. Liz, welcome back to Testimony.
Yay, you're so kind and so looking forward to our time together today.
Well, Liz, I loved the last time you were on the program, and I want to let our listeners know, in case they missed that a couple of years ago, that you are best known for your million-selling series, quote, Bad Girls of the Bible. You're a prolific author of over 31 books, and Women of Faith speaker. Your teachings, blogs, podcasts have reached into all 50 states, 14 countries, and on over 1,700 platforms, radio and television. Liz, did you ever imagine that your life would be what it is today?
Never in a million years. 33 years ago when I met the Lord, if you had told me that this is what he had for me, I would have laughed. First of all, when I didn't yet know him, it would have sounded ludicrous. I'm going to do what? I'm going to talk about the Lord Jesus to audiences? Write books about him? No way. And then even when he did climb into my heart and make it new, that still wasn't a vision that I had yet. But he is good and he is faithful. It wasn't but a few months after I met the Lord that I went to a Christian conference, heard a Christian speaker, a woman, get up and in a very relaxed way in front of 5,000 people, open God's word and poured out her heart. And I burst into tears because God said, Liz, this is what I have for you. I said, Lord, there is no way. I'm a radio personality. I want to hide in the studio. I don't want to look at people face to face. That's way too scary. He said, well, it's only scary if you were doing it alone, Liz. I'm going to do it with you. In fact, I'm going to do it through you if you're willing to get out of the way. And so that was our journey together towards speaking and then the writing and then the blogging. It's just amazing what God can do if we just say yes.
Well, what a great testimony, Liz. What a great word, a now word for today. So let's get right to your latest great read, Parable Treasury. With the holiday season upon us, Liz, tell us about the pine tree parable.
Well, it is the fourth of the four stories. There's one for each season. Pumpkin Patch Parable, the Parable of the Lily, the Sunflower Parable. So the last one I wrote, and the one maybe dearest to my heart, if it's okay to say that, is the Pine Tree Parable. All four books are for children up to age about seven. Though the truth is with a children's book, everybody reads it. Parents, grandparents, teachers, librarians, booksellers, babysitters. When you write a children's book, it speaks to every age, and that's really the thrill of it. Well, with the Pine Tree Parable in particular, we've got a farmer growing Christmas trees in a Christmas tree farm, and we get to meet his wife, who has been in the background in the other stories, and now she steps forward. She has fallen in love with a Christmas tree that they are growing. Of all the trees, it's the straightest, it's the most beautiful, the branches are the fullest, and she decides, this will be our family's tree. We won't ever cut it down. We'll just let it keep growing and growing year after year and enjoy its beauty. So she hangs a not for sale sign on the tree. Well, as anybody who tells a story knows, you've got to set up some conflict, and there's going to be conflict if you say not for sale and somebody wants it. And so it's a story, Jensine, about sacrifice, which seems an interesting topic for Christmas because you usually think of sacrifice as more of an Easter theme. But the truth is, the best gifts really are a sacrifice, maybe financially, but much more personally, in other words, the time that you spend and the thought you put into the gift, and then perhaps time-wise, if you actually make the gift, the best gifts are a sacrifice, not a quick gift card that we grab on the go on the way to somebody's house. Not that that's a bad thing, but it doesn't show that personal touch that a really personal gift will do. And so that's what the story's about. As I say, it's probably my favorite. And Nancy Munger, the artist, oh my goodness, what a talent. She's from Michigan. Nancy has an amazing way of capturing emotion on the faces of the characters of the book. Some artists just draw, you get everything in the picture, you're seeing it clearly, but they don't all capture emotion the way Nancy does. And so we feel this mother's chagrin as she is asked to make a sacrifice, and we see the pride on her husband's face, the farmer, when he watches her do this good and right thing. So I appreciate that so much, and I think that's what helps the story reach beyond our littles up to age 7, but into the hearts of big people, too.
Well, Liz, it is beautifully illustrated, and I did read that particular parable, the pine tree parable. What I loved about it, you mentioned sacrifice. It's a family that can't afford the tree, but a little girl whose heart will be broken if she doesn't get this tree. In childlike faith, and so many of us today, Liz, don't you think? We hope, we wish, we dream, but it takes a person, it takes a gift, it takes a selfless act to make someone else's dream be realized. And not only that, in your book, you have scriptures that go along with each story. It's such a beautiful and easy read and visual read. And you do cover Easter and Thanksgiving and Christmas, and there's one other season in there. But I can see easily why the pine tree parable would be a favorite for you. Kids need to hear, Liz, that they need to sacrifice, they need to walk in love, they need the example of Jesus that you so beautifully portray in this book. So next question. You're very active on social media. You interact with your fans on Facebook and Twitter. You have one-to-one action with all these people all over the world, and you're known as, quote, an encourager. What one story that you've received recently blessed your socks off, and why?
Well, it won't actually attach to this book, but to another one I wrote many years ago, Bad Girls of the Bible. It's still my biggest seller, even after all these years. I got a letter from a young woman, 21 years old, who said, I've been reading Bad Girls of the Bible, and when you wrote this particular statement, it was totally for me, and my life has now been changed and turned around, and I'm walking with God. And the amazing thing to me is, and I wrote her back and said this, you were 9 when I wrote that book.
Wow.
And though you were 9, and I'm sure an innocent young girl who wouldn't have dreamed of going off the track, off the rails, and off into the far country, as the Bible describes it, she couldn't possibly imagine that coming for her, but God knew. And he placed inside that book a particular statement that truly was just for her to find many years later. That's, I think, for a writer, the most joyful thing is to know it isn't about our words at all. It's about God's Spirit and his ability to take our simple words, are stumbling and fumbling as we write, to take those words and breathe life into them when the reader is actually looking at them on the page. And because books go off on their own, you know, I'm not there to speak them live into somebody's heart, I'm always amazed at where they land and how they're found. People find books at a yard sale, they pay a quarter for it, and it changes their life. Only God could do that. That has nothing to do with me. He is ever busy. So when we put words out there, whether it's on the radio like you do, or in a book, or in a letter to somebody, a greeting card, you know, there's a million ways to communicate. A text, you know, a simple post on Facebook, you never know what God might do with your words. His words, of course, are the only ones that will not pass away. But he's kind to use our words, too, that we speak, write, or share with one another.
That is so beautifully said, and from reading your books, I can attest to that personally. Now, Liz, you have 2 grown children. Did you use the stories in the parable treasury when they were young to help them understand who God is and how his plan directs their lives?
Absolutely. In fact, I think most mothers who read lots and lots to their kids come to that conclusion one day, you know, I think I could tell a children's story. Sometimes we just tell it to them as we sit on the edge of their bed and we make it up as we go along. In my case, I was a tiny bit more organized and actually wrote them down. My kids were 6 and 8 when the Pumpkin Patch Parable came out 20 years ago. Now they're 26 and 28, and they love the stories again. They went through that teenage phase of, ooh, Mom, those are baby books. But now I think it's fun for them again. But they were my perfect laboratory. I would read the stories to them and watch their attention, whether the words were just the right length and complexity for their age group, make sure I wasn't missing the mark there. And the scriptures are on almost every page. I choose those as carefully as I choose my own words I put on the page because I want them to be something that will really speak to a child's heart. I use the International Children's Bible, so again, the words to be designed for a child's ears. But you know, who else can grow with that is our friends who for whom English is a second language, those of who are perhaps a little less educated, lower socioeconomic level. A child's book mm-hmm. can speak to every age group. But yes, I was delighted to start with my own two kiddos 20 years ago when I wrote them.
Now, the Pine Tree Parable explores the true meaning of Christmas. And Liz, as we approach the holidays, how would you advise parents to de-emphasize the desire for presents and instead focus on, quote, the reason for the season and our remaining moments?
It's hard. It's very hard. Our culture is all about getting and getting and getting. But it is a wonderful time for us as parents to teach about giving and giving and giving. And we do that most, friends, by example. It isn't anything we're going to tell our kids or teach our kids. It's what we're going to show our kids. So the best ways to teach them is by giving to those who cannot give back. In a more physical, real-life way we can do that, the stronger the message will be for that young child to hear.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to internationally renowned author and speaker Liz Curtis Higgs. You can learn more about Liz and her ministry by going to LizCurtisHiggs.com and get your copy of Parable Treasury, a beautifully illustrated read, great stocking stuffer, and timeless classic sure to bless your children year after year. Liz, it's so good speaking with you again. Thank you for your continued and wonderful work that is blessing and encouraging lives all around the world. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're so kind. Thank you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.